are all about how he said, I bought it. He said, not only did I buy it, he said, I took it and I sealed it and I made it something that was absolutely subscribed and witnessed, and I charged Baruch to do what he needed to do to safeguard this deed. Now, that's the purchase of this chapter. The second is the prayer. Because, you know, he's doing stuff without really having time to pray about it. God said, he's coming, you know, he came and he bought. Okay, so now he's been busy. Now he stops, he prays, and he says, God, what are you doing? Verses 16 to 25. He says, listen, you're the God of all the earth. He says, you've done amazing things. You've delivered my people, your people from Egypt. And all he's doing, he's looking at all these great things. He says, but they've not once done anything you've asked them to do. And so you're going to wipe them out. And you tell me to buy land. That's where it ends. That's his prayer. He says, you've done all of this stuff. Look at verse 25. He says, you've done all this, and thou sayest unto me, O Lord God, buy thee a field for money and take witnesses. For the city is given in the hands. It's like, it doesn't make any sense, for the city is given in the hands of the Chaldeans. He said, what are you doing? God answers him in verses 26 through the end with a promise. So we've seen the purchase, the prayer, and now the promise. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He says, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hands of the Chaldeans. Verse 29, and the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have burnt incense unto Baal. Do you think God had a great deal of delight watching those roofs burn? It's where they worship their Baalim, all the different gods of Baal. He says, I'm going to let them burn it down, and I will take great pleasure in it. Verse 31, for this city has been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it even to this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil the children of Israel, the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, and their men of Judah, and the inhabitants. They've turned their back to me and not the face. They have taught, though I taught them, rising early and teaching them, but they set their abominations, verse 34, in the house which is called by my name to defile it. Now, putting it in context, this is pretty hideous stuff, but it's all going on right outside of this man's cell. There are abominations in the temple right now. There are people offering offerings to Baal right now, he's saying. He's saying these people have done such wickedness. Verse 35, he says, they built high places to Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And it says, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire of Molech. Very much like what we do with our abortion issue. We take babies and we say, hey, you know, they're expendable. I've been wrong. I've been evil. I've been licentious. I've been fornicator. And now I'm just going to give it to a vacuum apparatus and let it be destroyed. And sometimes so hideous as to partially bear these babies that are fully equipped and sucking their brains out. You think God sees any of that? He says, these people have been provoking me to cast the entire thing out of my presence. It's going on as we preach tonight. There are babies being killed today in America. We know that. He says, that is what caused me to bring it. He says, it neither came into my mind to do any of these things, that they should do this abomination, or to cause Judah to sin. And he says, and now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the city, whereof you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, the famine, and the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries. He's coming back to the hymn of praise. He says, yes, Jeremiah, you're right. It is going down. And yes, I am going to destroy it. And yes, the Chaldeans are going to carry everybody away. And yes, I did have you purchase land. But what Jeremiah did not understand, and what sometimes we do not understand, is that when we go through the motions of righteousness before a wicked generation, they will remember what pictures God paints in their eyes. There are times when you do things you don't understand that it really made an impact. Whether I was playing basketball as a young man and a guy across the street sees a halo on my head. Whether somebody at the store sees me and says, man, you're just such a nice guy. And they end up getting saved or coming to church. If somebody in your life, you don't know God's painting the pictures, but he was going through everyday business, but it was a unique business because in the backdrop of things, the world was going to fall apart He's told to buy land. And in the end analysis, God is telling them, I am going to bring this people back to me. Verse 39, verse 38, they shall be my people. I will be their guide. I will give them one heart. I will give them one way. You might underline the words one way, because it's Jesus. He's the only way. And He's the one way He's going to give them, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and for the good of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. He's saying the covenant's going to be maintained. I am not giving up on my people, and I will not give up on you. But I will put my fear, verse 40, into their hearts, that they should not depart from me anymore. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them, verse 40, like as I have brought all this evil upon them, I will bring upon them good that I have promised them. Now, the punctuation point, the exclamation point right here, is He says, verse 44, men shall buy fields, men shall subscribe evidences, men shall seal them, men shall take witness. He says, everything you just did was motions that I wanted everybody to notice because it seemed so out of sync. But your word to everyone is that this is what's going to happen in Jerusalem again. People are going to come back. People are going to build. People are going to be my people. And it's going to flourish. And He says, for I will cause their captivity to return. Verse 44. And then finally, in chapter 33, He basically tells them something about the houses that are going to be burned down. Verse 33, or chapter 33, verse 1 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord, the maker thereof, and that formed it. He's talking about the houses and the kingdom of the city. He says, to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call unto me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How powerful is a little knowledge? You can't do without it. You got to know that when you're watching Israel being assaulted on every front, that is given to you to know in the Scriptures what's going on, so that when it happens, you can be encouraged. It's funny, things can be going south, but if you knew God said it was going to go south, that can be a source of encouragement, because you know that God's doing something, because He didn't just say it was going to go south, but it was also going to be something that was going to be renewed and be all good. He says in verse 3, He says, call on me, I will answer you, He'll show you great and mighty things which you knew not. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses, underline those words, concerning the houses of this city, concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down in the mount by the mounts and by the sword. They that come to fight with the Chaldeans, they come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them, those houses, with dead bodies of men. And He says, for all those wickedness that they have done before my face. And He says, behold, in verse 6, I will bring health and cure. I will cure them. This is about the house. He says, you see how it's going down? I will bring health. I will bring cure. I'm going to raise them back up. He says, I will reveal unto them an abundance of peace and truth, in verse 6. I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquities whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, whereby they have transgressed against me. What's He saying? He's saying, you see, Jeremiah, you're in that pit. You're in that dungeon. You're in that cell. He says, you see these houses going down? They're going down. And they're going down hard. But I'm going to heal them. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to make them, in verse 9, a name of joy. I'm going to make joy return to them, in verses 10 through 11. I will do them good, in verse 14. I will bring them, look at verse 15 specifically, in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness, that's Jesus, to grow up unto David. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. He's going to be on scene. Millennial kingdom. King Jesus just over yonder. Wouldn't it be cool not to die? Wouldn't it be cool to miss all of the mess of getting dead? Wouldn't it be cool to just get a little holler once a day going out your front door, come up hither, and you just miss the ground with that foot as you step out the front door. You get to go home, and in 7 years you get to come back. And you get to reign and rule with Him. The Bible says the branch is going to grow up in verse 15. And in verse 16 it says, in those days Judah shall be saved and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. This is the name wherewith they shall call that city, They're going to call the city. They're going to call the city the Lord our righteousness. They're going to change it from the city of peace. They're going to say the Lord our righteousness. They're going to be the Lord our righteousness. That's our righteousness. It's our righteousness right over there. Jesus. Isn't that cool? And it makes sense. But for you and me, so many times on the grassroots level in our churches, we struggle with where our righteousness is. We try to add up and measure up and be up. And indeed, we should be right and try to honor our Father. But the fact is, He's our righteousness. And we rest. That's our default mode. The Lord our righteousness. The city is going to be called by that name, the Lord our righteousness. Verse 17 talks about the fact that David and the Levites are going to abide forever. Thus says the Lord, David shall never want for a man to sit upon the throne of his house of Israel. He says, I've made that as a Davidic covenant. He will always have. He will be there. The branch will be there. In verse 18, it says, neither shall the priests of the Levites want for a man to offer burnt offerings. There's questions today. How do they know who's a Levite and who's not? Who's a pure Levite and who's not? He says, God's got the records and He's going to see to it. Okay? However He's going to do it, He's going to do it. He's going to make sure that they have a pure Levitical priest to stand and minister those burnt offerings. Notice, those offerings are going to be done during the millennium, which is really amazing. You know, some things are odious. I don't know about you, but if you take a chicken and you have to cook it, you know, make it a turkey. A turkey. I remember seeing one of those Funniest Home videos. Everybody, oh, look at the turkey. And it's just wonderful turkey. What happens? They bring it in and they pull out this bag. Oh, what's that? I thought that was the stuffing. No, that's all the innards. It's inside. She cooked it with the innards in there in a little bag. And everybody's like, oh, this is so gross. But the fact of the matter is that when you think of the millennial kingdom, everlasting joy being upon our head, and yet there are lambs being slain, you know, somehow that's got to make sense. And God is going to eclipse whatever kind of trauma that is involved in that with the idea that this is so huge. He died for me. These guys are going to be leaning in. They're going to get every bit of every motion and they're going to say, this is amazing what Jesus did for me. We forget it. We treat it as a trivial thing. Oh, it's nice. Oh, it's nice. Yes, I go to church. Yes, I'm a nice... No, it's awesome. It's not just nice. They get it and it's awesome. And the Bible says that they're going to have those sacrifices going on. And in verses 20 and following is where he tells us there's all those assurances. He mentioned them again. He says, if you can break in verse 20 the covenant with the day and the covenant of the night, then that there should be no day and be no night in the season, he says, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign. In verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that will minister unto me. That's pretty neat. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying in verse 24, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. What he's saying is, Jeremiah, you're about to hear these uncircumcised heathens say, Israel and Judah, God's people, yeah, we know about Egypt. God's cast them off. He says, Jeremiah, don't you even listen to a word of it. He says, it ain't so. There's a lot of things the devil will scream in your head and in mine. He'll say, yeah, you're no good or whatever. Don't you believe a word of it. Bible says they're going to say, the two families that the Lord hath chosen, He has cast them off. Thus they have despised my people. That's those heathen have thus they have despised my people by saying such that they should be no more a nation before them. In other words, because they've been so foolish to tread upon holy things and think that they know what they're talking about, I will wipe them off of the face of the earth. They will cease to be a nation. Babylon is no nation and will not be a full real nation ever again. Verse 25. If my covenant be with the day, be not with the day and night, and if I am not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast off the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity. I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. Here endeth his writing for a time in the yet future. And in that, he was telling them, the covenant's going to be maintained, it's going to be maintained, it's going to be maintained. God never fails. He didn't choose Israel to fail, and He didn't choose us. to fail. He's going to perfect that which He began in us.